The next morning, the band set up, bleary-eyed, in the Star Chamber Cafe. Shortly after breakfast, wedding guests started prancing, oozing, and just plain staggering into the Despot's lounge area, where the ceremony was to take place.
All right, not bad, Nalen. Maybe we'll get through this set okay. Ooh, no, Ted, that's awful. Take it again. Not like that. Oh, that's better. There you go. Again. That was a bit better, I guess.
While I took it easy, sipping hot Florizel at a table next to the door, I tried to imagine what a whippet wedding must be like. Did they osculate, lock tusks, or shout battle cries at the climactic moment? Just then, I spotted a familiar triangular face crossing the front lobby in my direction.
Oh, space, no.
Not a friendly face, mind you, but a familiar one. Kodu Terrafin pilots Jabba's courier run between palace and townhouse. He's Arcona. Dressed in a spacer's coverall, he looks like a dirt brown snake with clawed arms and legs, and a large anvil-shaped head. I buried my face in my cup of tea as he slithered past. Just when I thought the danger was gone, Kodu turned and came straight toward me.
Figuring, is it?
The bulbous organ between Kodu's faceted yellow-green eyes twitched, and his tongue flicked.
Not quite.
Oh, Doik! Of course, I'm sorry. I recognize the voice.
I'm flattered, I guess.
I have information for sale. Which one is Figrin?
I glanced at the stage where Figrin was busy rehearsing a couple of numbers with Tech and Nalen and the two fanfars.
The one in front.
Figrin plays the clue like a Jedi master, but as a bandleader, he's just short of the dark side. I looked back over at the Arcona.
It's not a good time.
I don't want to stay. Do you want to buy? You better.
10.
I knew Figrin would cover that much if the news was worth hearing. Kodu's nose and tongue registered a cluster of Jawas hurrying by, headed for the wedding.
100.
100?
That's right.
Oh, that's impossible. We don't have that kind of money to throw around, Kodu. I could give you 15, tops.
This concerns all six of you. Perhaps you should speak to the others. How about 10 apiece?
Oh, not unless I go around and ask each of them. I thought you were in a hurry. How's about half that?
This is first-hand, very fresh information. It's worth more than that.
35. That's it. End of story.
All right.
Put your card there.
Kodu aligned his credit card with mine, and we effected the transfer.
It's about Jabba.
Okay.
He's angry.
Jabba's always angry. I hope you don't think that news is
worth 30... You skipped out on your contract. Jabba had a most important guest last night. He was most disappointed that you let him down.
We got another band to cover for us. Not as good as we are, perhaps.
Jabba noticed.
That's about the worst compliment anyone could receive.
Moreover, Jabba's guest noticed.
Oh?
The head of one of the greatest smugglers' guilds in the galaxy, and a real music lover. He told Jabba that his band didn't know an A-flat from a Q diminished.
I see. What did Jabba do?
He fed two guards to the Rancor.
Oh!
And promised to pay anyone who hauled you back to the palace extremely well.
Yes, I see. Well, I don't suppose you're going to
this
try...
This is not my business. What do you think I am? I am not a bounty hunter. I am Arcona.
I didn't mean to suggest the contrary, of course.
So it was goodbye to that little band I was hoping to start up back home. Goodbye, IFM Retirement Village. I'd left a sentimental mother at the bubbling pink swamps of Clackdoor 7. She missed her musical son.
Thanks, Kodu. Like they say, it's been great.
Goodbye, Doik. Good luck.
Right.
Luck. Either we slipped out of Jabba's range fast, or there wouldn't be any luck left for any one of us. Kodu was already halfway across the lobby, on his way to report to Jabba, no doubt. I headed quickly back toward the stage. Figgren and the others had finished rehearsing.
That's it. Jabba's on to us.
What?
Already?
Oh, no.
What should we do?
Well, there's not much we can do, is there, Tetten?
I guess we have to go through with it.
Well, we pretty much knew there'd be no turning back.
Not until we've collected our 3,000 credits, anyway.
Right.
So, let's give it everything we've got, Biff. Play like there's no tomorrow.
And let's keep our ears open all the time.
All right, I guess...
I'd already spotted two turbo lifts, a kitchen entry, the main entry, and a small circular hatch at the rear of the room that must have once been an emergency airlock. Lady Val's staff was now busy laying out food on a row of garland-bedecked banquet tables directly in front of the stage. Beyond the big tables lay a dozen little ones. I could see Figrin's mouthfolds begin to twitch. If the wedding guest started playing Sabacc, it would be impossible to get him out of there without a struggle. A cheer erupted in the lounge.
That's it. They must be married.
Beings streamed into the cafe.
A one, a two, a one, two, three, four.
Figgren swung right into our opening number. Before we had played four bars, I had begun to sweat. Not from the heat. Several of Jabba's toughs had ridden that wave into the cafe. Doubtless some of the bagmen that Thwim had been talking to me about. Perhaps they had been in town all night and hadn't heard about our defection, because they seemed not to notice us at all. I looked around the room to see who was on security. The Kubaz was nowhere in sight. There were a number of service droids in orange livery next to the front door. E-522 stood by the round hatch, gleaming blasters and needlers retrofitted for the occasion, and a shiny new restraining bolt dead center on his massive chest. Evidently, Lady Val trusted droids so far and no further. The room had filled up, and I began to think that things would be okay. Just then, a young human tottered up to our stage.
Do you do requests?
He was well-dressed, in clean, unpatched clothing and a slouch hat.
Play Tears of Aquana.
He tugged at Figrin's pant leg where it was gathered above his boot.
Hands off.
Figgren pulled his leg free. The human turned to me.
Do you know how to play Tears of Aquana?
Sure, no problem. Nalen?
On you.
I took a fast breath and hit my entrance at the top. Tears had been made popular in the last days of the Republic by a Bithian macro singer named Diana Dell. Its origins go much further back than that, however, and I don't think there's a band across the entire galaxy that couldn't stumble through it. We had no idea that a local gang had adopted it as the melody for their official song.
In days of old, we sang our songs around the Vaporator. The nights were cold, our throats were dry, but we could worry later. The nights were cold, our throats were dry, but we could worry later.
The slouch and several friends huddled at the foot of the stage and caterwauled lyrics that they had obviously invented. Several other humans lurched toward the stage, glaring.
What is this?
The times we spent, the drinks we shared, along the winding amber.
I elbowed Figgren. He took an unorthodox cut to the coda. We finished playing before the gang finished singing. Several of them remained close by, glowering at us. A newcomer, a darkly tanned female, shoved a non-singing bystander aside.
Now play one case. For Fixer and Cammy.
I love you, Cammy!
Figgren?
Got it.
We have a great six-bar intro to Worm Case. Figgren cut it to four. When you've played a piece 600 times from memory, you can easily lose track of where you are during the 601st. This time through, it became a crazy game of cut and patch. I don't remember having so much fun with that moldy old jump tune. Fortunately, this group didn't try to sing. While we played, I rechecked Jabba's tufts. They'd gathered near the bar, just killing time, for now. Then I noticed that they were talking to Thwim, Lady Valerian's Kubaz security guard. He had traded his green cape for a formal suit which made him look like a stuffed shirt. As if they could feel me watching them, the group turned and looked at us. I could feel the sweat begin to gather on my forehead. Presently, they resumed their talk. We wound up Wormcase and took a bow.
Thank you, thank you. We'll be right back.
All right, Biff, 5 minutes, right?
Sure.
Is that enough, Figrin? Only 5 minutes at the Sabacc table before I pull you away?
All right, 10 minutes then.
Have they started gambling again?
I'm going back to the Uvine wheel.
What about you, Doink?
I'll wait here. Stay out of trouble, okay?
You are such...
Yeah, I know, I'm thermal. Just like to get out of here alive is all.
Hey, Fizz, are you dry?
Huh?
I was listening to you fellows play. I figured you must be mighty dry.
Yeah, well, you're right about that.
One of the ugliest humans I'd ever seen, with a diagonal sneer for a mouth, had appeared next to the edge of the stage where I was sitting. He was carrying 2 mugs.
This one's lum, that one's wedding punch.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Despite my dislike of the stuff, I seized the mug of punch and downed half of it.
Not bad.
You're a pretty good band.
I'm pleased to hear you say it. I'm not sure everyone here would agree with you, but I...
What do they know? What are you doing here on Tatooine?
That's a good question. We've played the best palladiums in 6 systems.
I believe it. You're excellent. But you haven't answered my question.
My plug ugly sat down on the edge of the reflective bandstand and stared out over the crowd. Watching his back, perhaps? He was probably a native.
You see the horn player over there?
I nodded toward Figrin's gaming table.
Uh-huh.
That's our leader.
He's not half bad either.
Yeah, well, he's also a compulsive gambler. I thought we were just passing through, but Tatooine's a Sabacc player's heaven. I don't think we'll ever get out of here.
I see. We don't often get bands as good as you, even here in Mos Eisley. It's tough on us music lovers.
Do you play?
Nah, I tried, but I wasn't good enough. So now I do the next best thing.
What's that?
10 bar. Name's Woor, by the way.
Pleased to meet you. I'm Doik. You work for Lady Valerian, then?
Not at all. I wouldn't mind, you understand. I hear she's a great boss.
I've heard that said. This is the first time we've played the despot.
I work in a little club across town.
Is that so?
Nothing as fancy as this, but I do get to hear a lot of bands. Rough work, actually, but someone's got to keep the droids from taking over.
I hissed softly in a range humans find inaudible. Droids improve life. I was getting ready to tell him as much when Ichabel and Tedden returned.
You don't know what you're missing, Doik. I just won 10 credits.
Congratulations. Why don't you go get Figrin?
Oh.
He's right over there.
Sure.
Well, I guess it's back to work.
Here, let me take that mug.
Thanks.
Keep your reed wet, my friend.
I'll do that.
Who's your ugly friend?
His name's Woor, Tedden. Seemed like an all right guy, almost.
For a human.
Exactly. Hi, Naylan.
I could see Ichabel literally dragging Figrin back towards the stage. Figrin ought to make him manager, although he has his hands full just looking after Tedden.
Losing again, Figrin?
Oh, naturally. Shall we get back to work?
Fine. The sooner we'll get out of here, maybe.
I don't know about that, but give me an A.
Figrin plugged in his horn and we launched into our next set. At the table just below us, something changed hands with infinitesimal micron-per-minute movements. A typical Mos Eisley business deal. The room had really filled up and I could no longer see Thwim and his pals anywhere. That was no reassurance at all, and I began to perspire again right away. Something huge lumbered into view, and a cheer went up. It was the newlyweds, of course. 2 gargantuan whippets, 2.5 meters of tusk and claw and pale yellow fur were lashed together with a garland of imported greenery and mastment bones. They danced together toward our stage with their long, furry arms draped around each other. We were on a stage, but their heads towered over us. Lord Duwop stared rapturously into the broad, leathery, tusk-bottomed face of his bride. Without seeing the surreptitious traders occupying the closest table, the Lucky Despot's owner and her professional hunter sank into empty chairs.
That's better.
You dance divinely, my darling Tush.
They started untwisting greenery and bones. I held my head at an angle that made it look like I was staring out over the dance floor. Actually, I was watching one of Jabba's tufts, an anemic, gray-skinned Duro I had spotted gliding in our direction. Alone. A trio of papfaks twirled past, entwined in their own turquoise tentacles, in what looked like a pre- or post-nuptial embrace of their own.
Very good. Very good. Do you see that, my dear? Papfak lovebirds.
Yes.
Aren't they just tangles?
The papfaks nearly tripped over a mouse droid wheeling toward Lady Val.
You will excuse me, won't you, my dearest?
Of course. I'll be right here.
Seeing the droid, Lady Val finished extricating herself from her garland and got to her feet. With a fond pat on Lord Dwop's lumpy head, she followed the tiny droid toward her kitchens. The Duro's red eyes lit up. As soon as Lady Val was out of earshot, he approached Lord Dwop and bowed.
Good hunting, Whippy. Explain that remark, Duro, or I shall serve your roasted ribs to my lady for breakfast. You are hurt.
Dwop's massive paw, still dangling a strand of wedding greenery, closed tightly on the Duro's arm.
I do not signify your lovely mate. I am addressing Lord Dwop, hunter of great repute, am I not?
I am he. Is there someone you want splashed, Duro?
Has your lovely bride offered any game yet?
Lord Dwop finished divesting himself of his garland, while the Duro pulled up a chair and sat down. I just kept playing and listening.
What is your point, Duro?
There is a bigger boss on Tatooine, an excellent one. Lady Valerian pays him protection money, as you're perhaps aware.
Indeed. You are referring to this Jabba the Hutt, are you not?
I am.
What has this got to do with hunting?
A whippet who truly loves the hunt doesn't settle for small bait.
Are you implying that Krayt Dragon is unworthy to be
my
hunt?
Employer has just offered record bounty.
Bounty? Why, I am
Lord
not...
of your position, you're probably not looking for work, but opportunities like this come rarely.
I see. So, is it a fierce quarry?
His name is Han Solo.
So the Tufts were baiting Lady Val through her bridegroom. Goggle-eyed, I hit a string of offbeats and reminded myself that Jabba had plenty of time to come for us.
He's a small-time smuggler, but he made the boss big-time angry. Jabba has many more enemies as well, reputable Lord Dwop. May I sponsor you to the mighty Jabba?
The Duro's red eyes blinked, and the Whippet's leathery nose twitched.
Tell your employer that Dwop will bring in the corpse. I shall meet him then.
But aren't you staying for the celebration?
Later. My mate and I shall celebrate my glorious return. She is Whippet. She will understand.
Lady Val emerged from the kitchen as Lord Dwop headed off across the dance floor. Jabba's Duro rose quickly and melted back into the crowd like an ice cube on a sand dune. I held my breath.
Where are you going?
I am called to the hunt, my dearest. I shall return.
You can't leave now. What about our guests?
Figrin had led us into a new piece, Dome World Lament, which I didn't know so well. I had to concentrate. Suddenly, everyone in the room turned toward the center of the dance floor, where the loving couple were now locked in a not-so-loving embrace.
Nonsense! First time your box!
The crowd surged against the bandstand. I moved back from the edge of the stage and almost tripped over the Omnibox. Thigrin missed tripping over Icabel's fanfare by a hair. While Lady Valerian and Lord Dwop went at it tooth and claw in the center of the room, the crowd of onlookers grew aroused. Mos Eisley being what it is, and with Jabba's allies numerous in the room, this brawl would spread like a sandstorm. I took advantage of a 5-beat rest and blurted out the danger signal.
Sundown! Sundown, Figrin!
But I'm still behind! We can't leave yet!
The crowd parted and Lady Val came hurtling directly toward the bandstand. Her course was slowed just a bit by a line of wedding guests who had sought refuge under the edge of the stage. Regaining her balance, she dragged three of them with her back into the multicolored melee. Lord Dwop signaled to a couple of young whippets who had been waiting for this. Then Jabba's tufts, sensing that the moment was right, began breaking furniture just for the fun of it.
End of set. Thank you very much.
Come on, Biff, let's get out of here.
Tech, wide awake for once, was breaking down the Omni. I couldn't find my fizz case anywhere.
Everybody stay where you are.
Glancing around, I spotted white armor by the front door.
Stormtroopers!
What the hell?
Sure looks like it.
Don't move anyone.
All of the Lucky Despot Sabacc tables shut down simultaneously, but the gang at the Uvide table got caught with its wheels spinning.
Get back, you.
This time, obviously, Jabba hadn't tipped off Lady Val about the impending raid. I'd even have bet he sent the stormtroopers himself, but I don't gamble. Finally, Naylan finished packing up the band fill.
Ready. Back door. Come on.
Don't move anyone.
Figrin leaped off the stage, barely missing a bulky human's murderous backswing. We followed our fearless leader along the bulkhead, clutching our instruments to us. Then I spotted my friend Thwim, the Kubaz security man, bashing heads together.
Help us! We're unarmed!
His nose swiveled toward us. He leveled his blaster at our group and fired. Tedden dropped the fanfare case and clutched his arm.
I didn't do anything!
Get the instrument!
You get it, Figrin. We've got Tedden!
I grabbed Tedden's unwounded arm and pulled him closer to the rear hatch, mentally promising anything and everything to any deity listening. If only I could escape with my fingers unbroken and my uncased fizz undamaged.
Ow! Hey, what is it?
Figrin stopped running so suddenly that we all ran into him. 10 meters ahead, right next to the hatchway, E-5-2-2 stood his post, calmly blasting every being that approached him. I glanced back. Imperial and unlicensed weapons were going off all over the place.
It's no use heading back. Here, Rick, you take Ted.
I'll be all right.
Dwight, get back here! He's been rearmed!
Well, I reminded myself, I've always had better luck with droids than with sentients.
Tutu, old friend!
Just as I had figured, he still had his recognition circuits intact.
We need to get out, now!
Sure, I'll watch your backs. Be sure to shut the hatch behind you.
Why,
I held the hatch cranked open while Icabel helped Tedden through. The banfill and the Omnibox were a bit more difficult, but soon Naylan and Tech were through as well.
You next, Figrin!
Figrin ducked under my arm. As I turned to follow him, I noticed a squad of stormtroopers closing in on a group of humans who had retreated in our direction. The Slashmouth bartender was among them. I hesitated. If nothing else, I owed him for a sweet mug of punch.
Lore! Over here! E5, don't shoot that human!
Thanks!
E5 may have recognized me, but he didn't take my orders. He pointed his needler straight at the bartender. Plug Ugly dropped to the floor. Surprisingly agile for such a big human.
I register, Doink! To a slide!
It sounded crazy, but I raised my uncased fizz and let out a squeal, pushing it even higher with all the breath I could muster. Somewhere along that slide, I must have hit the frequency control for E5's restraining bolt. The droid shut down.
Stinking droid! Thanks again, pal.
Come on, then.
We emerged on a narrow Duracrete ledge 3 stories up. The bartender leaned back, sandwiching my fizz between his gray-belted bulk and a pitted bulkhead.
Careful, that's my horn!
I glanced down. Figrin jumped off the foot of a precipitous escape ladder and dashed away, dodging filth and leaping over sand piles. an anvil-shaped Arcona head poked out of the hatch. Clutching my fizz, I backed down the ladder. The human almost stepped on my head in his hurry.
Come on, move!
The ladder swayed under his weight. I barely held on, wishing I had never met the guy. As more escapees piled on, the ladder's sway became a terrifying oscillation. I kept dropping.
Good going, Doink.
Once down, I spotted more stormtroopers trotting up the main ramp. Another hot morning in Mos Eisley.
Oof. Who's the human?
His name's War. He's a friend.
We've got to get out of here.
Are you okay, Ted? I'll be fine. You help Tech with the Omni.
Let's go!
Wooer headed off down the avenue away from the Lucky Despot. Ichabel and Tech set off after him. I grabbed one end of the Banfill, and Tedden hobbled along beside Nalen to my right. Figrin walked next to me. He clearly did not like this one bit.
What? Are we going to follow this guy just like that?
He's a fan, Figrin, and he's a pretty savvy one at that.
Yeah, well, without the credits from that job, how are we going to get off planet?
I have no idea.
3,000 credits gone.
Not only that, but Figrin here gambled away all our reserves, didn't you, Figrin?
I was just seating the table.
Figrin?
I was going to win it all back.
The barman turned into a narrow alley without slowing down. Fortunately, Ichabel had his eyes open, because Tech didn't, of course. When we were safely in the alley, Wooher stopped and waited for the rest of us to catch up.
Are you all doing okay?
Yeah, I think so.
You know, it's very kind of you to help us, Wooher, but we can't pay for so much as a bolt hole.
That's okay, I'll get you a job.
Huh?
A job?
Yeah, making real music. You can do that, can't you?
Yeah, sure.
Well then, let's keep moving. Stay close.
He led us up street and down alley. I followed, thinking.
I'll do anything. Shovel sand, polish bantha saddles. But I won't work for humans.
But his boss wasn't a human. The cantina's owner was a beige and gray Wookiee named Chalman. He offered us a 2-season contract.
Sounds good.
Figuring, no, that's too long. And it's too public.
Once we find a way off planet, the Wookiee can keep our severance pay. Just say yes.
Oh, all right.
We found crash space in Ruelia's insulated rooms. We emerge each night to play in the cantina where my only human friend, Wooher, tends bar. Han Solo beat Figrin at Sabacc yesterday, so he's still alive. But I heard that Lord Duwap was shipped home in pieces, so Lady Val is single again and looks to stay that way. And every time we tune up, I check the crowd. Just now I spotted Jabba's swivel-eared Rodian, Greedo. He's not bright, but he's armed. I'm watching him. You have been listening to We Don't Do Weddings, a dramatization of the short story by Kathy Tyers. This program was produced by David Rapkin and directed by Charles Potter. Mix directed by Lars Hoel. Dramatization by Charles Potter. Music from the Star Wars films by John Williams. Original music for this program by Rich DeRosa. Sound effects by Arthur Miller and Zed Starkovich. In the cast, you heard Lars Hoel, Russell Horton, Eddie Korbich, Danny Lewis, Regina Manfredi, Chris Phillips, Marcia Savella, Steve Winfield, and Gary Yudman. This is John Beach. Production copyright 1995, Lucasfilm Limited, all rights reserved. We hope you have enjoyed this dramatization of We Don't Do Weddings, The Band's Tale by Kathy Tyers. The original short story can be found in the collection Tales from the Mos Eisley Cantina, available wherever Bantam books are sold.